So I did go long last week. So knowing that, I was going to start today by giving you more Bible facts of why the book, the Bible, is authoritative, why it is the Word of God. But honestly, you know, we had some pretty good proof last week. And I really just want to talk about how the Bible was compiled, the New Testament especially. So I want to talk about the canon of the New Testament. So I thought, you know what? The message that God has for us today comes from His Word. So I'm not going to take a lot of time doing that today. So why don't you go home if you want to know more about it, just research it. Put in canon of the New Testament, and all this stuff will pop up. You start researching it. Watch your sources. And you can figure out how exactly the New Testament was put together. Now, you got to remember, we learned this last week. Scripture, all Scripture, is God-breathed. It's inspired by God, right? All Scripture, okay? So they compiled the New Testament from the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Okay, now if you deny that that's possible or that happened, check it out last week, verse 5. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Remember, if you don't think that happened or could have happened, you're rejecting the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay? And remember, this book contains no mistakes. You think they just went, oh, that letter's making it. No, because then we'd have mistakes. And there is none. And by the way, there was three criteria that the early church used to decide which books went in here. So check it out. It's pretty interesting reading. So here's where I'm going to start. And I kind of started. I want you to think about the car you drive. And let me tell you something. I am coveting this morning. Oh, yeah. Brand new, big, black F-250 sitting in the parking lot. Brand spanking new. Diesel. Whoo! I covet that truck. I'm not going to lie to you. Oh, I'll repent later. But think about the car you drive. All right? Think about the house you live in. Think about the location of the house you live in. Think about the books you read. Think about the clothes you're wearing. Think about the music you like. Why do you listen to that music? I'm not going to say live where you live. Theoretically, if you had $1 million and could live wherever you wanted, why do you live there? Why do you drive the car you drive? Why do you wear the clothes you wear? Why? We like it, right? I'm wearing this because I like Under Armour, and I like fishing. I combined them. Well, I didn't. But I'm wearing a shirt that combines them. This is an Under Armour symbol made out of fish hooks. I like it. So I'm wearing it, right? I like the truck I drive. I might like Jordan's better, but I like the truck I drive. And the same is for you, most of the time. The fact is, we put conditions on things, don't we? I put a condition on whether I'm going to wear this shirt or not. Do I like it or not? Is there a big old stain right here or not? Most of my shirts have that. Is it a Ford? That's a condition for me. It is. And the same goes for all of us. We put conditions on the things we have based on whether we like it or not, how useful it is. Am I going to get one use out of this? 10 uses out of this? We put conditions on it. We're a people of conditions. All of us put a condition on why we came here this morning. Okay, well, it's hot. Well, that didn't keep you from here, but it might have kept somebody. Walt's not preaching. That's a condition. Maybe somebody show up because Walt's not preaching. Ralph's preaching. Maybe somebody's here because Ralph's preaching. There's a condition in everything we do, and there's a reason you're here this morning. Listen, that could be a good reason, a bad reason, a good condition or a bad condition, whatever it was, just forget it. Okay? Just forget it right now. Whatever brought you here, you're here. So now, let's decide. We're going to listen to the Word of God, learn from the Word of God, and allow it to speak to us and transform us. Okay? Because I'll tell you what, being people of conditions, we put a lot of conditions in when we read the Word of God. You know? I know I do. I read this, and I will read for achievement a lot of times. I don't read to hear from God, for Him to reveal something to His Word, because I got it all figured out anyways. You know? I put conditions on why I'm reading it. Well, I'm going to read this book because I know it's really good. I really like this book, so I'm going to read it again. And I'm not looking for it to change me. When we put a condition on reading this, we silence the Scriptures. God is unable to reveal His truth to us if we're not open to it when we read His Word. Why do we do that? Because we're people of condition. Right? I used to read some of this stuff in here, and I used to always hear, I heard it twice this week, and man, it frustrates me. Money is the root of all evil. Please don't amen that. I used to read this book, and I come talking about evil. I'm like, you know, money's the root of that right there. It's the root of that problem. Yep. And I just go keep on reading. Yep, I know. That's wrong, people. I hope you know that. That's not even what that verse says. So until I read the verse for myself, I went into this reading it wrong. Had this preconception of what it meant. Because the verse says, the love of money is the root of all evil. Doesn't it? Something else I used to hear all the time. I still hear it. God won't give you anything that you can't handle. I like that thought. I like that thought. So I used to read God's Word, thinking that thought was true. Listen, no, that's not right. If you read this book, you're going to discover that God gives you more than you can handle, so that you have to rely on Him, not you. Yeah, that's truth right there. So we go in reading this book with all these conditions on it. I did it this week preparing for this message. I discovered that I read the book very differently when I'm going to preach. I do. I read it very differently because I don't want to stand up here and preach on something I don't understand. So I'm forced to make sure I understand it. So I research it. I read commentaries on it. I cross-reference it. I even used a concordance in my Bible this week. Yeah, it is weird. But I don't want to get up here and preach on a preconceived, you know, concept that I had. But that's what we do. We go to the book like it's a magic answer book. Well, I think this, so I'm going to search the Scriptures till I find that, whether it's in or out of context. So here's what we're going to do, hopefully. I remember, because I really want to do this. I do it when I read the Bible at home. We're going to do it again today like we did last week. Everybody, if you have a Bible, grab it. Just hang on to it. We're going to pray before we read God's Word. Let's pray. God, we look forward to hearing from You today through Your written Word, through Your Scriptures. God, and I pray that all the conditions we come in here with, thinking we know what You said, God, just give us the ability to learn and hear from You today. Reveal the goodness of Your Scripture in a way that we know is right today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's open up to 2 Timothy 4. Yep. We were in 3 last week. I had some people say, man, thank you so much. That was a great message. And I said, man, that was. And they're like, oh. And the reason I say that is not because of how I delivered it, but because, guess what? That message is for me too. Man, I took a lot away from last week, and I read the Bible different last week, so I got even more revelation than I normally would. Because like I said, a lot of times I'll just read it to accomplish it. I'm going to read three chapters today. I'm going to read three chapters tomorrow. I was challenged by this a while ago, and I didn't do it. But I was watching a speaker. We were at a BIC thing, Walt and I and Saul. And the guy said, look, read the scripture until there's something that you don't understand, or there's something that is revealed to you. Then stop and try to figure it out. Cross-reference it. You don't have to keep reading the same book. He said, try to figure out what's happening there. Man, is that true? I'll tell you what, if that happens, I'd have got through a half a verse this week. Yeah, no lie. Here we go. 2 Timothy 4, starting in verse 1. I solemnly urge you, and now remember, this is Paul talking to Timothy. Timothy's in Ephesus, okay? I solemnly urge you in the presence of God in Christ Jesus, who will someday judge the living and the dead when he comes to set up his kingdom. And then he's going to give us what that is. Now, like I said, I get through a half a verse. I read that, and I got to who will someday judge the living and the dead. And I'm like, oh, I don't really understand that. I don't know that much about the second coming of Jesus. Well, let me tell you, that is another message for another time. Because I don't know. I don't understand it all. However, for today, what we're reading here, there's a reason we're reading about that. Paul had a reason for writing that, and it wasn't to explain what the resurrection dead was. Okay? I solemnly urge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus. Paul is, writing Timothy, okay? He's writing Timothy, and he's telling him, listen, what I'm about to tell you is crucial. This is uber important. Really, really big deal. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you in the presence with eyewitnesses of God and Jesus. This is a big deal. Pay attention. And then he qualifies Jesus. He says, Jesus is the one who's coming back to judge the living and the dead. There's nobody more important than him, and that's who I'm going to tell you this in front of. Pay attention. It's like me saying to Kevin, dude, listen, I got to tell you something, and listen. You got to listen to me. Matter of fact, where's Dan? Come here. I want you to be my witness because I'm going to tell him something that's true, and Dan knows it because you know Dan. If I said, hey, my buddy Rex from work's going to come, he's going to be our witness, and I'm going to tell you this, what are you going to say? Who's Rex? What's the big deal? What's he got to do with anything? But he knows Dan. He knows Dan's a solid guy. He knows his stuff. He's scripturally sound. So that puts more importance on, okay, well, I know Dan, and Ralph's going to tell me this. This must be something important. Well, Timothy knew God. Timothy knew Christ. We learned that last week. That's what we learn about when we read this. We learn all kinds of stuff. So this is really important. Verse 2 of chapter 4. Preach the word of God. Boy, do I love that. I love that saying. Preach the word of God. Be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. That's one of my favorite things to read about. Preach the word of God. Because guess what? I'm a preacher now. Yeah. I'm a preacher now. I love to read that. The cover photo on my Facebook is a pair of work boots with the Bible in between it. It says, preach the word. I'm like, man, that's awesome. Facebook. How many likes did I get? No. Don't you like the word? You better like it. You better like my cover photo. So I'm preparing this week, and I've got my own ideas on what that means, right? I mean, we're reading 2 Timothy. 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus are the pastoral letters, okay? There's a lot of information on these things for pastors, deacons, elders, how the church should be set up. There's a lot of information in there. So when I hear this or I've read this in the past, I read this and I think, okay, preach the word. He's talking to Timothy as a preacher, as a pastor. Well, first off, we never read about Timothy being a pastor. No, he's a church leader in Ephesus. That's why Paul left him there. He's a church leader in Ephesus. So all week long, I'm just like, what is the big deal here? Yeah, I'm so excited about it, but it just says preach the word. Okay, I'll get up and I'll preach the word, but how am I going to preach on preaching the word? I don't get it. So I kept going down through, and nothing settled with me. So last night, I decided, man, I got to get into this more because there's something I'm missing. So preach the word of God. I decided to look up what word of God was, because why did Timothy go from saying all scripture is God-breathed in chapter 3? And then before that, he said holy scriptures. He didn't say word. He didn't say right here, preach the scriptures, did he? He said, preach the word of God. So on my way to figuring out what exactly that meant, I was cut off. And I found this study. I don't know if it's a word study. It was just a study of the word preach. So I'm like, I'm going to check this out. I checked all the resources, you know, who wrote it, what, you know, this church, where it came from. Their whole thing is to make sure of biblical accuracy. I'm like, okay. So I go and I start reading about the word preach. And man, what is something? That's what God's revealing to us. Check this out. The word preach, 90% of the time you read the word preach, not preaching, preach, 90% of the time is in the New Testament. Okay? 90% of the time. The New Testament is roughly 20% of the whole Bible. Okay? So when you read the word preach, more than likely, it's in the New Testament. Big deal, right? When you read the word preach in a sentence, that sentence is talking about the location that preaching is to take place. You are to preach in Ephesus. You are to preach in Damascus. You are to preach in Galilee. That's an example of the sentence you would read with the word preach in it. Almost every time you read that in a sentence, that's what it's referring to. The location of where to preach. Now, this guy had to write this paper when he's talking about preach along with teach. So he starts comparing now the word teach. Well, when you read the word teach in the New Testament, that sentence is referring to the people you're teaching, not the location. You were to go and teach the Ephesian church. That's not a place, by the way. The church is not a place. It's the people. Okay? So when you read preach, it's about location. Where to do it. When you read teach, it's about the people you're to teach. Interesting stuff. So I thought, what's all this coming to? So I went to my concordance, and I looked at the word preach and the word teach. Now, there was 14 New Testament references in my concordance of the word teach. Okay, it's in the sentence. Zero of those 14 verses or sentences in a verse with the word teach had anything to do with the gospel. Didn't even mention the word, didn't say the word gospel, put it that way. Didn't say the word gospel. So I flipped over to preach. 10 of the 16 verses that said preach in them also said gospel in them. Now I'm like, uh-oh. It's coming alive. It's coming alive. Preach the word. Listen, Paul's not telling Timothy to get up in front of the church and preach a good sermon. He's telling Timothy, go and preach Christ. Spread the gospel. No wonder he said, dude, listen, this is so important. You got to get this. God is my witness. You got to get this. Preach the gospel. Go tell others about Christ. That's what we're reading right here. So I got news for you. Guess what? I'm not the only preacher here today. Every one of us are preachers. Yeah. We're all preachers. Yes. Well, if you're saved, you got the Holy Spirit in you. We're preachers. Come join me in the fun. It's really not that fun to share the gospel sometimes, is it? Nope. Preach the word of God. Be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. So now I'm like, man, there's something in that verse that I never even got before. So now I'm reading everything like super like, oh, what's this? So I'm trying to decide if this be prepared, whether the time is favorable or not, means like to preach the word or just in general. So I asked Lauren about the colon and semicolon and what's this stuff mean, your thoughts and all this. And so I came to the conclusion that it means be prepared to spread the gospel. Be prepared whether the time is favorable or not, and also be prepared to do your ministry. Just be prepared in general, whether the time is favorable or not. Because let me ask you something. If you're doing your ministry, there should be an opportunity at some point to share the gospel, shouldn't there? Yeah. If you're doing your ministry right, there should be an opportunity in it. And it says, NIV says, in season or out of season. And NLT says, whether the time is favorable or not. So I'm up here right now. I had to come up with a new word. I don't really like it that much. Christ Disciples is awesome. This word's not that good. It's preteach. Right? Because if we're... and by the way, in the New Testament, when preaching is taking place in the church of the New Testament, the church is somebody is preaching, it's to unsaved people. So hopefully here today, there's some people that aren't saved. Because if there's not, then we're not doing a very good job at inviting people and exposing them to Christ and His love. So that's why I say I'm up here preaching. I don't know, I might come up with something better than that, but for now that'll work. So I'm up here right now preaching, and this is a favorable time for me to do that, isn't it? Because we're in church. Everybody comes expecting to hear a sermon. They expect to hear preaching, teaching, preteaching. So this is a great time for me to be doing this. It's very favorable. But when I leave here and I go to eat and I can't have a cheeseburger with a big old fat bun because I'm on a low-carb diet, I'm not going to cuss and carry on. That wouldn't be a very favorable time for me to do my ministry because I'd be upset. But guess what? Even that moment when I'm sitting there hangry that I can't have that cheeseburger that my kids are eating, I have to be ready to preach the word, don't I? Even in that state. And you can use your own situation. We have to be ready when it's dangerous. Like I said last week, we don't have to really worry about that much in this country. But like was brought up in our small group last week, the time's coming when it's going to become dangerous for pastors in this country when they refuse to marry same-sex people, do same-sex marriages. It's going to get dangerous for them. Not only they might have to go to jail, but there's going to be some angry people. It could get very dangerous. Does that mean, you know what, since it's dangerous, I don't have to do it? I don't have to worry about what the book says because it's dangerous. No. Remember last week? You will be persecuted. We have to endure suffering. And you know what? That sounds terrible, but whoop-dee-doo. Think about eternity for a second. That's hard to even imagine, isn't it? Because eternity is so long. There's no stop to it. There's no end to it. You can't even get a small enough example to put our lives on that line of eternity. Because that's how minute it is. It's so small and such an insignificant amount of time when you think of eternity. So you know what? We might have to suffer a little bit. We're going to have to suffer a little bit. That's okay. Look what we got waiting for us. That's okay. Let's endure some suffering. So be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. When you're doing your ministry, be ready. When you're in the hospital facing sickness, be ready. We have to live our lives being ready to present the gospel. We are really good at this. Preach the gospel. And when necessary, use words. Man, I like that. Yeah. I like that. That sounds good. That's clever. That's so clever. It's so clever that it deceives us. Because we think, great, now all I have to do is live my life in a way that they're going to see Christ. That's true. We should live that way. But that's not all. Colossians 4, 5, and 6 says, live wisely among unbelievers. What's it say after that? Live wisely among those who do not believe. Take advantage of every opportunity. Okay, well, if I'm living wisely among those who don't believe, I am taking advantage of opportunity. Right? Because they're seeing me. They're seeing Jesus in my life. I'm taking advantage of that opportunity. That's not where it ends. It says, take advantage of every opportunity. And then it says, let your conversation be gracious and salty. So that you might have an answer for anybody who asks. So yeah, you live wise so that you get the opportunity to say the gospel, to preach the gospel. It's not just on how we live. We have to actually preach it. Uncomfortable. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. Did you get that? Man, it's like Scripture comes alive when I'm going to preach. Because I read it differently. I read it the way it's supposed to be read. Now I know, why does he say, correct, rebuke, and encourage your people? If we're preaching, we're not preaching anymore. Now we're teaching with good teaching. Not with good preaching, with good teaching. Guess what? You're my people today. You're my your people. Because I'm up here, and I'm teaching. So you're my your people. We all have a your people. I have some more your people sitting over here. Lauren has your people sitting over here. Bobby has your people sitting over here. You have your people beside you. Everybody has a your people. We learned about that last week, about how all Scripture is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, right? Not only do we have to preach to the lost, we have to teach your people. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. Tell you, when I saw chapter 4 coming up 2 weeks ago, I'm like, yes, can I just skip to next week? Because I want to talk about that. Oh, I want to talk about people that, man, when they come to church and they get upset and they get offended and it's something that they don't like in here, they leave. And they find a church that'll tell them whatever they want to hear. Man, what are we missing? What are we missing when we don't accept conviction? When we're sitting here and the Holy Spirit is moving and we're feeling convicted and then we get mad that we felt convicted. So we go somewhere else to where we're not going to feel convicted. I can just feel great. It's a deception. Man, we are in these times. We are in these times. People don't want to accept sound and wholesome teaching. We don't want to accept the hard stuff in this book. I don't want to accept some of it. I think there's all parts of this book that we don't want to accept. But we don't have a choice. No, we don't. But the people that Paul's talking about here, they make it their choice. And then they go, and they go to these churches where the pastor never stops smiling. If you're smiling 24/7, I'm sorry, you're counterfeit. You're something's wrong. And the reason we know that just from the last 2 weeks and what we've read in God's Word is because if you're always smiling, there's no way that anybody's that good at suffering that they can just smile all the way through it. Now, I'm not saying you can't smile at all, but come on now. I've listened to some of these people who like to smile all the time. There's huge chunks of this. They use this. They use the Word. But there's huge chunks of the Word that are missing. You know why? Because they got a huge church full of people who are going, my ears really itch. And they're going to this church and they're getting them scratched. Because it's everything they want to hear. The largest church in this country, that could be wrong. I heard it was the largest. It's definitely one of the biggest. I think the largest. The largest church in this country is really good at scratching ears. Why do you think that church is so large? Wouldn't you rather go somewhere where you're going to hear nice things that you're going to feel good about? Yeah, I would. You want to go to a concert where they're terrible and they don't even know how to play instruments? No, you want to go to a concert that's going to sound nice. That makes sense. But when it comes to this, it doesn't matter what it says. We got to listen. And we got to attempt to apply it. Man, Satan is so good. He is so sneaky. He's so good at what he does. Filling up these churches and people think they're good because they feel good about it. It's not necessarily about feeling good. It's about knowing good and knowing the truth. For time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound wholesome teaching. I've been there, done that. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. But you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. There it is again, man. I start feeling good about something I'm reading, and all of a sudden, Paul's got throwing that suffering word again. What's your deal, man? I'm out of here. I'll go find me a teacher. Don't talk about that. That's what I'm going to do. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry God has for you. Boy, I read that, work at telling others the good news. And I'm like, wait a minute now. You mean I got to work at telling people the good news, the gospel? We're back to living. We're back to living the way we should be living. We're back to that testimony of our salvation. Our lives should look, they should look like Christ. Shouldn't they? In the way we act. In the way we live. In the way we work. Well, guess what? That takes work, doesn't it? That's not easy. It's not easy at all to live like that all the time. It takes work. And it takes commitment to that work. That is hard to do. That's why Paul's telling Timothy, man. He's warning him. Work at telling others the good news. Because notice it says telling, right? So while we're work at living, so that we get those opportunities to preach, then we have to work at telling them. Then we have to work at actually getting it out of our mouths. I can't tell you how many times I have just told somebody the gospel. How many times I've preached the word to somebody individually. I think once. Not good. Not good at all. Because even if I live right, it still takes a lot of work for me to get that out of my mouth. Because I want everybody to like me. I think a lot of us are like that. We want everybody to like us. The fact is, if we're Christians, there's gonna be people who hate us. Yeah. We're gonna be offensive to people. They're not going to want to listen to what we have to say. So then, oh man, I don't want to upset anybody. I don't want there to be embarrassment. I don't want there to be problems between us. I have to work with this guy. I don't want to take that. I don't want to have to deal with it. Is that relationship between me and that guy any more important than my relationship with Christ? No way. What if that guy would actually say, man, you know what? I don't even know about this Jesus. Man, that's somebody who I'm going to say, dude, read this book. You don't know who Jesus is? You don't know anything about him? Read this book. I wish I could read this book knowing nothing. Could you imagine if we read this book not knowing how it ends? Huh? Boy, that'd be a thriller, wouldn't it? Reading all this stuff, you're like, what in the world? What has happened? But it's just enough to keep you intrigued. So you keep reading, you keep reading. Then you get to the New Testament, and you start reading the Gospels. Click. Oh my gosh, this is really happening? Could you imagine reading the Bible like that? And there's people that know nothing about it. We met some of them. I can't remember who it was now. Who was it? Said they didn't know Jesus. Didn't even have a clue. It was a kid. Oh, yeah, Nicole's small group, yeah. Her nephew. Yeah. Who's Jesus? Who's God? Oh. That's inconceivable to think about. Anybody's even heard God? The word God, the name God? It happens. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry God has given you. We all have ministry. We all have an overarching ministry. To what we learned today is to be preachers, to preach the word of God, to preach Jesus. But we all have individual ministries and callings. What's yours? I don't have the sheet where you fill in the blanks and then they apply it to your life part at the end. And I'll tell you, I might not be a fan of it, but that is so useful, especially on Friday nights. Because, boy, last week we didn't have it a small group, and I'm like, well. So that's a good thing to have. I don't have it for you. But this is kind of what we're going to wrap up with. What is your ministry? Carry out the ministry God has given you. What are you doing to grow the kingdom of God? There's got to be something. There is something. We're all created for purpose, to glorify God. How do we do that if we're not doing anything? Do you have a ministry? You do. We need to figure it out. If you're not in a ministry, I don't know, maybe you need to come up with a ministry. And I'm not talking about just the ministries at church, like the women's ministry, the men's ministry, the youth ministry. You know, you might have a ministry that's totally unique to you. You might have a ministry of going and teaching people how to read God's word. You know, like a tutor, I don't know. We're all created with abilities and talents, right? That's a good thing. We need to use those talents and abilities for what they were intended for, to glorify God. Not just to go out and hit a softball really well, be really athletic. But guess what? There's ministry in hitting a softball really well. There's ministry in being really athletic. Like we talked about last week, all those things that you can do really well, how does that point to Jesus? How do you preach God's word through that talent? Huh? How do you do it? If you don't know, first off, read it unconditionally. You know what even made me even think about being conditional Christians? This past week I woke up, and Lauren knew that I had to sermon prep. And I walked downstairs and she wasn't home. And I walked through the house. House was spotless. The boys' room was spotless. And listen, we got four boys. They're all young. This isn't very rare for our house to be spotless. So I'm thinking, man, this is great. This is awesome. I opened the microwave. Man, there's eggs and bacon in there waiting on me. Oh, yeah. She's not even home. I'm like, are you serious right now? This is great. So you know what I did? I picked up my phone and I texted her. I said, oh my gosh, thank you so much. I love you. And I'm like, seriously? Am I really texting this to my wife because she did this for me? That's a good thing. But why couldn't I just wake up and think about how much I love my wife before I went downstairs and saw that the house was a wreck or clean, before I saw whether I had something to eat or not? Why couldn't I just text my wife? I love her unconditionally. But man, I show it conditionally. Very conditional about how I show her that I love her. Or I tell her that I love her. Man, that's not right. And that's what, now all this, I'm like, why? This is, I'm a person of condition. You know, I might love her unconditionally, but I don't show it that way. We might love God unconditionally, but we don't show it that way. If you don't know what your ministry is, if you don't know, to put it in a way I heard this morning, if you don't know why you're still here or what you're doing here, there's something for you. You still got breath in your lungs. It's never too late to figure out what it is and start glorifying God with it. Can you imagine this church? Yeah. Can you imagine the community? If we all figured out what our ministry was. And remember last week, all scripture is God-breathed. Skip to the end. What did it say at the end? God uses to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. I don't know what else to say, so I'm going to pray. Let's pray. God, we just look forward to hearing from you every week. We're thankful for JB. We're thankful for Walt, that we have that opportunity for them to speak truth into our lives from you. God, we thank you for the truth that you've spoken here today, and we just ask that you would enable us to live out your word, to live out the scriptures, to come to your scriptures when we read, and just be ready to hear from you instead of us telling you what we think. God, give us the ambition to get into your word. Give us the ambition to live out your word so that we can grow your kingdom. In Jesus' name.